Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Break It Down podcast. You're with Joel and Fergus. Hi Fergus.
Hi, how's it going?
And today we're going to be talking about easy wins for your SEO, so the search ranking for your website.
Nice one.
So, what have you been up to?
Apart from doing an absolute ton of SEO this month. only slightly higher than normal, but it's one of those things where when you're working through it, SEO can seem overwhelming, and it's one of those things of like breaking it down bit by bit, so we've been thinking a lot about it over the last month. For example, today I've been doing, yesterday and today I will be doing meta descriptions and metadata in the background in quite a bulk amount. Good. And outside of that, I've been listening to a lot of random podcasts.
Oh yeah? What, like?
I found one yesterday, which I know you're going to like, but it has a preface on the title because it sounds really bad. It's called Dungeons and Daddies. But it's not a BDSM podcast.
No. Okay.
That's literally how they intro it. It's a Dungeons and Dragons podcast made by Freddie Wong from YouTube.
Okay.
And basically, it's a bunch of characters that are typical dad stereotypes that have been thrown into a D&D world via a portal, and their kids have been kidnapped. So you have like a hippie dad who likes his like oats and recycling, and he's a druid.
Okay.
And then you've got the jock, like sports coach dad, who's found himself as a barbarian.
Right. Okay.
And like there's the rock and roll dad who's like a lute player or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really
I
fun.
Feel like the podcast listening in this office is getting more and more obscure.
So. I think we talked about it in a couple podcasts ago. But I love podcasts.
Yeah.
Especially now.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I know we listened to The Monsters Among Us the other day.
Yeah, that was great.
And,
I really enjoyed that one.
People calling in with their supposedly real life experiences of bumping into monsters, which then led me to look into cryptozoology.
Yeah, I literally looked that up.
and I was finding out about modern day pterosaur sightings.
Amazing.
And in my research, found out that the hotspot in the world for the most pterosaur sightings at the moment is Whitchurch.
Oh wow, that's not far.
So I'm not sure about it, because bearing in mind that my wife works around wildlife and you know, spent a lot of time on nature reserves around Whitchurch, if she hasn't seen them, I'm not sure they're there.
I don't know, I saw a pretty big bird the other day. Could have been a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was a red kite though. But...
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't know what cryptozoology. I think that's one of the best. It's my favourite word of the month for sure, cryptozoology.
Oh, really? Yeah, Bigfoot, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Loch Ness Monster.
I just never knew it had a name.
Yeti.
And it was so good.
Yeah, interesting.
Podcasts have got a great niche to them. It opens the door to a lot of people you wouldn't hear from, so it's quite cool.
Yeah, I do listen to some sensible ones too. I'm listening to Dear Lovejoy, that's a good podcast. Yeah. People ringing in with their problems.
The guy that Jen likes and we listen to quite a lot.
Gary V. He's great for sort of business and entrepreneurial
and
content.
Just enthusiasm.
And, yeah, if you're having a bit of a slump day,
yeah,
put on a Gary V podcast and you'll run through a brick wall.
That's very true.
So, SEO and how our listeners can kind of get some easy wins on their SEO, get their website ranking, you know, start to see themselves getting above their competitors. There's loads of advice we can offer.
Well, it's one of the things that people care about the most with their website, and you get a lot of like, oh, I'm here on this page with my website, like how do I get ahead? And it's like some people looking for like a quick, easy fix to that, and like not understanding the kind of health. It's more of like a site health.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, it used to be considered witchcraft. It was like this kind of like black magic where, oh, I've got to get all my keywords crammed into my site, and then I'm going to trick everyone by turning them white on a white page so no one knows they're there.
No, people do that. That's amazing.
And, obviously, you can't do that.
No. Well, you still get people who ask for like keyword dumps.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
obviously don't work.
No. Well, Google quickly caught up.
Yeah.
You know, and now they've made it as easy as possible for anyone to stand a chance with their SEO. So
the rule now, on a broad sense, is just authenticity and relevance, right?
Yeah, authenticity, like, relevance, readability.
And it's just a bunch of rules and practices that go into making that your making sure your website is
yeah
that, really.
I mean, the key check is does it talk about what it says it talks about, so authenticity? Yeah. Is it relevant for the audience it says it's talking to? And is it easy to read?
Yeah.
If you fulfill those three things, you're halfway there.
Exactly. And then it's like function and, like, is the website actually working?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I guess you got the prerequisite is the website's got to work well on all formats.
Yeah.
That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
Then in terms of content, is it relevant, authentic, and readable?
Nice, yeah.
And actually, to write relevant, authentic, and readable content is a skill in itself.
Yeah.
But...
And it's kind of... We've talked about writing for the internet before, for our blogging podcast, but it's different.
Yeah.
If you're a very skilled writer and you know you've got lots of technical knowledge yeah. about writing and stuff like that, and you write long sentences, long paragraphs, very technical writing, it's not necessarily great for internet, exactly. It's kind of the opposite.
Assume a short attention span.
Yeah.
So you've got to hook someone quickly and you've got to make it kind of easy to digest. So what is the benefit for that user who's on your website at that moment, and how quickly can you communicate that? Which... actually plays into your hands, because you should know your product or service.
Yeah, and exactly.
You should
yeah.
know your audience.
We've talked about writing blogs and stuff like that, and it doesn't have to be super technical. It can be about you and your business and everything.
Like, yeah,
that's all
yeah.
relevant, because it's your business. And like,
yeah, yeah, I mean, writing about stuff going on in your locality,
yeah,
writing about your business, your staff members, writing about your goals, your vision, writing about your services, your product. There's so much to
yeah.
go at. We find that's something we find difficult as an agency, is when we approach people who are doing their own blogs and
yeah.
say, well, I don't know what to blog about.
Exactly.
Are you serious?
But once you... Some people cross that line and then
yeah.
it's like, oh yeah, literally anything.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, what did you do yesterday? Oh, well, I went into a house and I refitted their living room. Okay.
That's a whole blog.
There's like four blogs in that.
Yeah.
So what supplier did you use? Let's do a blog about the best suppliers for a living room. Let's do a before and after blog about how you transform that space.
Mm.
Let's talk about the client feedback, what they thought about that. So there you go, there's a case study blog.
Yeah.
And then the final one is, what was your experience of doing that whole process, and how are you going to do it differently next time?
Yeah.
Four blogs out of one job.
Or even what inspiration do you use if like it's a creative thing as well?
Yeah, exactly. On it goes. So yeah, the fresh content and writing for the internet is really important, and also should be, when you take a step back, relatively easy to implement.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I guess getting slightly more technical, but by no means difficult, is making sure that, you know, when you add it to your website, that the titling is right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've titled your blog to say exactly what the blog's about. That's important. But also to attract attention. So it might be you've written a blog about the five tastiest drinks available today. So you could call it the UK's five tastiest drinks. So you've given it a location.
Yeah.
You've said what it's about.
In not too many words as well, like
not too many words. You've got your point over. Google will understand it. Readers will understand it. That kind of thing. That kind of thinking. Page descriptions, making sure all your kind of background metadata is complete, really important. So, just describe what the blog is about. It's not.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be difficult. Some people make the mistake of kind of trying to lead people into the blog with their description, and that isn't how Google or a reader would think. They don't go, oh, you've teased me into reading about the five greatest drinks, I'm going to read more.
I don't want to be here, but I will stay.
Google yeah. wants to know, what's that blog about? So,
yeah.
So tell it. So,
and so does the reader. Yeah, yeah, like you said, just so does the reader.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you click on a blog and it's not about what you want, you don't stay and find out, you leave, and then you've got a bounce.
So it would be, Cobreak discusses the five tastiest drinks available in the UK today. Fergus at Cobreak has a real taste for fizzy drinks, and he does, you know, and he has tried them all. Here's his top five. You've got the description over
that
straight
blog
away.
Is on its way.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
That is a blog that is never going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, you see my point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you can delve a little bit more technical, but still probably possible from a general user. Make sure your images are tagged, so if an image is of a drink,
yeah,
here is a drink,
yeah,
or or whatever drink it is. Here's a cola drink, or here's a cola drink on a table.
Yeah. We'll say, like, a good strategy to ensure, because you want this effort, SEO effort, to be consistent throughout the whole site.
Yeah.
So it's great if you've got a new website to just take 10 minutes and come up with, like, this is what I'm going to make sure I do every time I upload anything to the website.
Yeah.
This is how I, like, when I upload an image, this is the information I have to put in, this is the kind of how I format it. And
yeah.
And that way, you're not going to get to 5 months in and be like, oh no, I've got to go back through and retroactively change all my SEO.
Yeah, yeah.
We find that a lot of websites where you can overlook it, and if you overlook it too long, it becomes a big job.
Yeah, yeah. Give yourself a little checklist. Every time I upload a blog or a new piece of content, these are the things I have to fill in. So,
exactly. And then it's not much work either.
Yeah, relevant title, relevant description, tagged my images, images the right size. Check my content to make sure it's readable. So short sentences, punchy.
Mm.
And I think from a content perspective, that's probably as much as could be expected of most people.
Yeah.
And that's fair. The other bits you could do to help yourself there is probably have a look at things in hindsight. So check your Google Analytics, see what people are reading the most of. Look for the content that people read the most
and
of.
Then and then tailor to your audience.
Yeah, write more of that content.
That's
yeah. Again, if you've got webmaster tools, you could go and see what people are searching for too. Mm-hmm. And if you find out that people are searching for whatever it might be in your industry, tent poles for 1950s style tents. Apparently, suddenly there's a niche for triangle tents again. No one wants a dome tent. Write loads of content about triangle tents and tent poles. It should be simple.
Yeah. No. I mean that's like the best way. That would be incredible.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit of research, and then you are the people. You're talking about what people actually want to know at that time.
Yeah.
And I doubt, like, with a lot of industries, there won't be too many people who are doing that.
Nobody's taking that approach.
No. So you'll be ahead of the curve.
We've got clients that want to blog, and we literally send them a list of 10 blogs we think they should write in the next year. And I think sometimes the reaction is, have you just plucked that out of thin air?
Mm.
No. You told us what you wanted to rank for. We went and looked at the search terms for those kind of things. We then suggested that you write blogs around that content.
Yeah.
Write the blogs.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Write the blogs. And then another easy win for people is every business should have a Google My Business listing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so Google knows who you are, where you are, what your contact details are, what your website is, has some pictures of your premises, your staff, your team. It's a good opportunity for where people can put reviews. If you're leveraging reviews, the more reviews you've got, the more chance you have of Google's algorithm.
Yeah.
Just
makes you look
more
approachable. Like if you Google a business and they've got it, it's all set up, it looks authentic.
Yeah,
trustworthy.
If you haven't got one, it's maybe an hour of your time to set it up well.
Free?
It's free, yeah. If you've already got one, just make sure you're keeping on top of it.
Yeah, if you change your phone number, change your phone
number. Yeah, if a staff member leaves, get their picture off, get the new staff member's pictures on.
Move site, any of that.
Yeah, make sure the drop pin on your map is in the right location, because for whatever reason, it is known to stray a little bit. Found that out with ours this week.
Oh,
so
that's great.
But yeah, easy win. And then also you end up with a URL to direct people to review your product or service. So build up those reviews.
And it's probably one of the first places that people are going to find reviews.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the few places where you'll see it and you'll actually probably go through them.
I mean, the two big hitters for reviews were Google and Facebook. Mm-hmm. But Facebook's moving to a recommendation system, so they don't have that star system anymore. Google very much does. And it's a trusted source.
Exactly,
if you've got good Google reviews that are genuine and authentic, that's going to help your ranking long term.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's certain industries where that's very important as well. Like, there'll be a lot of consideration. Maybe you've got a lot of competitors. If you've got a good, solid review set up on your Google My Business, and no one else does, or they've got less, or just it's not set up as well, and you've got a good standing.
Absolutely, yeah. I guess something we should also touch on, we've given the easy wins away.
Mm.
There are some more technical things you can do that will definitely help your site.
Right, yeah.
But whether you want to get into this or whether you should be asking your web developer, web design team, your marketing company to help.
Right.
That's up to you. Speed optimization's one. So you can run a speed test on your website. How fast is it? Is it fast in terms of what you've paid for it as well? So, you know, if you're not in the top 10% of websites worldwide, don't panic, because there'll be websites that are spending an extortionate amount of money on having unbelievable hosting and an unbelievably clean build to achieve that.
But you definitely want to be in a healthy pocket.
But yeah, you want to make sure exactly that what your expectations are and what you're getting are aligned and reasonable. Yeah. Does your website load quick enough that it doesn't put people off?
Yeah, because there are stats to do with over a certain time, the bounce rate, it goes exponential. Yeah. So.
And then what can your web agency do to help with that? So have a look at image sizes on your site, have a look at the amount of code on your site, have a look at plugins that might be pulling your site speed down, have a look at using things like caching, things like
ghost data that's in there with like previous versions of your website that are just
That kind of stuff. I mean, there's things out there now that can compress images before they load.
Yeah.
There's so many little things you can do to tweak the speed. You can host the images elsewhere so that it only pulls the images you need as it loads, all that kind of thing. There's 101 different things you can do to speed up your website. The only time you should be looking to do that is if your website is slow.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, you're tweaking something that doesn't necessarily need to be tweaked. Unless, of course, you're a massive company and you're competing with other massive companies, and then it's all about marginal gains. So you can look at every little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're sat there saying, I'm not getting any inquiries on my website, and you're trying to shave half a millisecond off the loading speed, your priorities
are all
wrong.
Yeah, there's probably other areas you should be focusing that time on. Because also, to save those milliseconds at that point, if your site's already running quite fast, that can take some time.
Yeah.
That's not a quick and easy fix. It's a go in and assess and figure out what's the best way to do it and actually implement it. But, you're right.
Other things, so featured snippets, you know, when you boot a Google search and it shows you some information rather than just a result. There's no defined way of getting Google to pull that, but if you provide Google all the information on what's on your website, you stand a better chance of Google giving you a better presentation.
Yeah.
So to achieve that, it involves SERPs, it involves schema markup, it involves all these things that, as a listener, you don't want to know what all that is. But getting Google to give you some prominence is no bad thing, particularly without having to pay them. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's them kind of rewarding you for doing an excellent job.
Or constantly providing brilliant content.
Yeah.
Because they will twig. If you're getting great traffic to consistently brilliant blogs, Google will reward that. Again, schema markup, similar sort of thing, making sure all the content on your site, every page, every post, every author is all marked up.
Yeah.
And explicitly telling Google what it is, why it is,
and who it's for,
how to categorise it.
Yeah.
All this stuff that takes an awful lot of time and an awful lot of effort. And again, you've got to weigh up, is it worth doing all of that for your website? Or is your process of pulling inquiries actually a bit more holistic than that, and so therefore you don't necessarily need to go that technical.
Yeah, you're already ranking well, you're getting content up, and what we said in the easier section, that's being done and it's running fine.
And then I guess building on that, obviously everyone knows the power of video now. Not many websites are submitting a sitemap that defines where their videos are. I don't think many people would even realise that that's something you can do. But it's a great way of showing where your videos are on your website and also explaining to Google where those videos are hosted and where they come from. So, for example, on our website, all of our videos are actually hosted on YouTube and embedded on our website.
Yeah.
But there are videos. Mm-hmm. So we tell Google both of those things.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's quite a common situation on loads of websites that still YouTube embeddings, like
Vimeo.
Vimeo.
I think if you're hosting videos on your website on your own server, there's a surefire way to slow things down.
Yeah, well, if we're talking about site speed, and one way to do it, don't host your videos on your own website.
Yeah.
Unless
there's a bloody good reason. Yeah. So it could be they're videos to demonstrate the quality of your 8K resolution camera. And
you don't want any compression.
Yeah, yeah. Therefore, you want to host it there. But there's things you can do then where the rest of the website runs fast, but almost something comes up to say, this will take a while to load.
Right, yeah. Oh, there's loads of ways of doing that. Yeah, that's completely fine.
And then I guess other things that people may struggle with, brand reputation. So if lots of other websites with really good reputations, good ranking, are talking about your business, Google will realise.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily have to be linked. So linkless mentions are actually really important now. So, you know, if somebody said a blog, oh, I got Cobreak to design my latest brochure, really pleased with it, love the final print, delivery went off without a hitch.
Mm.
That's actually powerful content. That's mentions away from your own
area. Even without linking to our website.
Yeah, exactly, like because Google reads that as genuine.
Right, yeah.
Once they link to you, there's a feeling that there's been a conversation.
Because that's an old practice. That's an old practice that was used.
There's still strength in that. But if people are just talking about you in a genuine fashion away from your business,
yeah,
surely that is the best testimonial going. A testimonial where you've never seen it.
You might not even know that exists, but it's there. Obviously.
And then the other side of that is getting really reputable sites to link to you. So you might be in the plumbing sector.
Right.
And the leading plumbing websites are linking to you because you're providing such great information.
Yeah.
Or maybe your videos on YouTube are so good about your quick fixes for central heating that other people are starting to share them and link back to your website. And that kind of thing's awesome for your ranking.
Very powerful.
Yeah, really good for your ranking. And also the hardest thing to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's convincing other people that your content is so worthwhile that they might as well just link to it rather than write their own version of it.
Yeah. The quality, the authenticity, the originality of it, everything.
That's the hardest thing to achieve. Mm. So hard. Because you've obviously got to find the platforms that have influence in your industry, convince them to share your content, or if you're not convincing them directly, do such great content that they just start sharing it anyway. I mean, we've got an example of a couple of clients that have done this really successfully.
Yeah.
And the traffic on their websites because of it is insane. It's madness. For kind of the SME B2C businesses, it's all about hitting those kind of high attention marks.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, you're a burger restaurant and you serve a delicious looking burger that's a really cool theme, so something that nobody else has thought of. Maybe a top end burger blog is going to pick that up and share it, or maybe you do an eating challenge and a famous eating challenge influencer is going to pick it up and share it. Or maybe you've had a visit from someone notable to your restaurant or business or premises who, you know, got a big Facebook, LinkedIn, Insta following, and you tag them in a few things to say, oh, great, blah, 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 blah. And then it turns out they had a great experience and they link back to you. That kind of thing can go a long way.
And it's all about, so those things happening, you've got that book, you've got that person coming in or whatever, and then it's also documenting that in the highest quality way you can.
Yeah.
So that when people do find it, it's like, oh, this is incredible. This is like a nice experience to, even if it's a blog, this is a nice experience to read. And it's interesting. It's all qualified.
Yeah.
It's just like a whole package.
And I think it's thinking about that on a social level as well. So if someone does something nice for you, even if they benefit from it, just remember to say thank you.
Yeah.
So remember.
If everyone did that on the internet, then every website would be doing better, right?
Yeah, exactly. If, you know, the mayor of Shrewsbury gives you a mention and pops you out there, just drop them an email and say, thank you, that was really kind. Because they don't have to do it. Equally, if Social Media Today decide to share one of your blogs because it's really useful, drop the editor an email. It won't go unheard.
Absolutely.
It's such an important thing to do. And it's easy traffic for your website. Really hard to get in the first place, but once you've got it's kind of so like powerful.
Almost like a social, you said it's social, but like a social media practice, because obviously if people sharing your posts, that kind of stuff, and you want it, you either do the same back or you think you engage with them in that way, and it's kind of bringing that personality, that kind of behavior, and applying it to your web.
If someone gives you a referral in real life, chances are you'll at least drop them an email or give them a call, probably send them a bottle of wine, maybe take them for a drink. So if someone's doing that in a digital form, behave the same
it's
way.
It's almost more like a permanent, like if it's a blog on the website, that's a more permanent because more people than one person can see that.
So I guess, humanize it. So back to the easy wins, just as a sort of summary, remember, write your copy for the internet, short attention spans, easy to read, relevant, authentic. Optimize your page information, titles, descriptions, any tagging that you know how to do. Obviously, make sure your website's mobile friendly, works well on a desktop everywhere that it's going to be served. Keep on top of your content so it's fresh. Now, by that, I don't mean I expect you to write original content all the time. Nobody does. But write it from your perspective. Write it from your values. Don't just regurgitate top 10 articles you've seen everywhere else on the internet.
Exactly.
And then make sure you've got webmaster tools, make sure you've got Google Analytics, make sure your Google My Business listing is up to date. And I think you are 3/4 of the way there.
Keep it up.
Keep on top of it. Just because you did it well for a while and your ranking's gone up doesn't mean you can just stop doing it now, because you'll get caught out.
Yeah, definitely. I think that covers it, really.
Yeah. So if you'd like to know a little bit more about SEO or how we can help you with SEO, we'd love to chat to you. Always open to questions. You've been listening to Joel and Fergus on the Break It Down podcast. Love to hear from you again.
See you next time.